Well, hello everybody and welcome to our group coaching call here for June 21st, 2018, summer solstice. Funny, today I got a note, I think it was on Facebook, hey, welcome to summer. And I'm thinking, well, where I live, it's been summer for like 2 months. It's funny to see that. All right, so we're going to, if you're on the call page, here's what I'd love to do. We'd like to get started by just sharing wins of the week. From the last couple of weeks or so. And by the way, we have some folks joining us today and next week, some folks who are going to be joining the program. And so it's great to be here with you guys and glad you're joining us for this first chat. But if you're logged into the call page, there are two fields there. One is a field where you can submit a question for me, and I'll talk about another way we can talk as well today. And there's a field for chat. So if you would, please let me know in the chat area what you feel is going well for you so far. So if you've already started the program, a win is quite simple. It's whatever is meaningful to you, something that's motivating you, maybe a breakthrough, an aha moment, you got positive response from someone, you feel like you're making progress, you're happy with what you've accomplished so far, you feel you're on the right track, anything like that, just go ahead and type it into the chat box there on the call page and let me know, and let's get started there. Also on that page is, or should be, and let me check to make sure, we're starting to load up the call page with a note-taking PDF that makes it really, really handy to take notes, and also forces you to think through your biggest takeaways from the call and your top action items. So there should be a PDF there on the call page for today where you can download. I encourage you to download that, print it out, and use it to take notes. And then that way, things don't get lost in a notebook. You'll have something there that you can use to take those notes. And, yeah, I see it there. I'm just logged in. It's a PDF called Call Notes, if you're looking for that. It's under the Pre-Submit Your Questions for Ed section. Nanette says, her win of the week is progress, finally moving from session one and getting ready to fine-tune website. Fantastic. That's a big first step. This program is really front-end loaded with the work, and it's just, frankly, there's just no other way around it. I've tried it different ways, and this approach works best. But the challenge is that right away I'm giving you something that's very challenging. The positioning exercise, it causes you to really think. This is something that I strongly encourage you to take your time with. This is not something you can do in an hour or two. I find that it's the kind of thing you can brainstorm, you can work through for an hour or two, and then it's best to put it away for about a day and then come back to it. Keep coming back to it. Let the questions and your answers marinate for a few days. That's a huge win, Nanette. So thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Wins from the last week or two since we last chatted. And by the way, for those of you joining us for the first time today, keep in mind everyone here is kind of a different path in terms of where they are in the process. Don't feel like you're behind or anything like that. Everyone is working through this at their own pace, and there are people here who have been here for a few weeks. Dale says, just finished the positioning exercises. Hey, that's fantastic. And Dale, man, Dale just joined us. So good for you, Dale. You're moving right along. That's key. Keep pushing through. All right, anybody else? Don't be shy. Let me see who's here. We got Betty. Hey, Betty. Good to see you. Ray. Great to have you back. Mary out in California. Arun. Great to see you here. It's been a while. Love to hear from you. We got Linda. Haven't seen Linda here in a bit. Great to have you back, Linda. Richard says, what do you recommend website technicians charge to revise an existing website? All right, so we'll get to Q&A here in a minute, Richard. So let's just kind of wrap up the wins. Love to hear from Mary, Arun, Linda, who else? Ray. Wins of the week. Don't be shy. We're all family here. All right. Well, I'm waiting for that. Let me show you or explain how you can ask questions. There are a couple of different ways. One is if you're on a phone line or on the web call, the web call option. You can dial star 2 on your telephone keypad, or in the web call, I believe there is a raise hand icon there that you can press. Okay, so either one will show me that you have your hand raised. I will go ahead and unmute you, and we can have a conversation. That's usually the best way because then we can have some dialogue, and I can coach you through whatever you're challenged with right now. The other way is you can type in your question in the pre-submit your questions for Ed here field. Okay, and I will be monitoring that screen, and I can read your question aloud and answer it. The only disadvantage to that is that we can't have some dialogue. That's a really good feature if you're somewhere where you can't talk, or if you can't make a call, you can always pre-submit your questions there in that field. And my system keeps track of those, and then I'll see them when I dial in, and I go back and forth typically between the phone and those questions that were pre-submitted. And we have a few that were pre-submitted from between a day ago, 2 days ago, and even this morning. So Francis says he's working on his positioning exercise. So that's good. Arun said he sent more warm emails this week to a couple of dream clients. No replies yet. We'll have a question about progressing through sessions after number 6. Excellent. Yeah, let's talk about it. Absolutely. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into coaching, Q&A. Guys, there's nothing that's off limits here. You know, I'm here to help you, to support you, to help you make progress. So star 2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. Let me do this. Let me go, and I'll go back and forth with questions that are pre-submitted and then you guys who are here live. Okay, so Kevin submitted a question a couple of days ago. He said, hello, Ed. I'm specializing in financial services. I would like to ask you, according to your experience, this is a rather broad industry. What kind of company in the financial services need B2B copy, and what kind of marketing content or piece do they need the most? I've done my own research, of course, but would like to have your opinion benefit from your knowledge. Thank you. Yeah, so it's all over the place, Kevin. Anything from there's a lot of articles in the way of articles in industry publications that companies want to write and hopefully get placed in those publications, to articles for their newsletters, for their clients and prospects, blog posts. Kind of fall into that category, all the way to marketing materials such as brochures, white papers, case studies, web copy. So it's really it runs the gamut, Kevin. It's all over the place. I would not worry too much about that yet, and instead start targeting these companies. And the reason I'm saying that, and I'm not sure if this is where you're going with that question, is if you should specialize in or focus or offer one type of writing assignment or a couple types of writing assignments. At this stage in the game, what I usually say, unless you have some insider knowledge because you've come from that industry, you have a lot of contacts, you've done a lot of this writing as an employee, then don't get specific with the services you offer yet. Keep it broad and say, I help, you know, financial services companies write marketing materials, right, or marketing content and copy. Keep it that broad for the what you do part of your positioning. And then as you find your way through the business, as you get experience and get a better feel for what you like and don't like and where the demand is, then you can specialize in a certain type of assignment or certain types of assignments. But, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it right now. if that's, you know, part of why you're asking, and in terms of where the demand is in terms of copy and content, you know, that's, it really runs the gamut. There's a lot of content, a lot of marketing content, not just copy, not just advertising copy. All right, then Kevin also asked, I have three samples I wrote during my copywriting courses with AWAI. However, they are B2C, business to consumer, and not for the financial services industry. Should I still put them on my website? Absolutely. So, Kevin, you want to, and this goes for everybody. This is a great question. A lot of times, you know, people pick a target market and they say, yeah, you know, this is great. This is going to be my best choice. Unfortunately, I have some samples, but they're not in that market. Should I even post them? My suggestion is post them anyway. That's exactly what I did when I was getting started. So I ate my own medicine. And here's the thing. You're not trying to position yourself as the best and obvious choice for the most demanding clients out there. Okay? You're trying to just show what you have today to offer. And your hope is that there'll be somebody out there who's willing to give you a shot with based on what you have today, okay? If they need to see a thick set of samples in the industry and get some specific samples for what they're looking for and you don't have those, and if that's going to be a problem, guess what? They're not a good prospect for you today. They might be in a few months, but they're not a good prospect for you today. If they need to see those things, they're just not a good prospect for you today. I equate it to when, you know, kids are graduate from college, they have, for the most part, no real practical work experience. But guess what? Every year, employers go to college campuses to recruit graduates. And they are looking at other factors. They know that these kids don't have real practical work experience in their industry. But they're willing to work with what they see, and they're looking for other factors. And that's what you want, Kevin, and that's what everyone here wants. You're looking for prospects who, based on everything else you're demonstrating on your website in terms of your positioning and how you're communicating that, shows them that you have expertise they can tap, okay? You want to leverage whatever you have from your personal and professional life that no one can teach you overnight. These are things you bring to the table that come from, you know, different experiences that you've had, personal and professional. And you want to leverage as much of that as possible. And if you don't yet have samples in the area you're targeting, use what you have. I'll post an article in the forum with just some of the samples that, because I want you guys to see this, some of the samples that I started out with, so you can see what I was doing and what I had to work with. And guess what? That wasn't impressing a lot of prospects, but there were few who hired me, even though that's all I had. They gave me a shot. And what you need to keep in mind is this is a temporary problem, a temporary challenge. Once somebody hires you, guess what? You're going to have a sample in that target market. And then you can replace one of your three samples, for example, with that new one. So this is not going to be a problem forever. This is a temporary problem. You're just looking for someone who's willing to hire you right now with what you've got. All right, so let's go to the phones. I see Monique and Dale with their hands raised. And again, star two if on your telephone keypad if you have a question, or you can click on the raise hand icon. So let's go to Monique. Hey, Monique, how are you?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Great to talk to you.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. Same here. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, we talked about my positioning as a social worker, and, you know, my assignment was to go back and kind of look at an industry, you know, a target market, and I looked at healthcare. And as you know, it's a wide and deep. So I settled on senior living, because, you know, it's familiar to me. It's something I can, you know, I understand the players in the market. So this would involve, you know, the range of living arrangements a senior could have. And there are a lot of mom and pop, but there are some overarching big companies that own, you know, like several facilities all over the country. And they have the typical blog post, email, newsletter, brochures, that sort of thing. So I'm like, okay, let me just start here. I mean, there are other exciting areas like technology and so on, but I thought I'd just start off where it's, you know, I have a comfort level. So I did a search on, okay, well, if a potential client was trying to find me, what would they search on? And I searched senior living or senior healthcare, that sort of thing. And I came up with just a few copywriters. There's a senior living copywriter, copywriter for nursing homes and assisted living. My point is, mostly it falls back under the broad heading of healthcare copywriter or health copywriter. When I look at jobs, you know, that we're trying to find copywriters in this space. So my concern is, gosh, that is so broad. You know, I would just probably get lost here. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Healthcare, meaning healthcare is so broad?
Yes, healthcare copywriter. Mm-hmm. That is...
All right, so a couple... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just concerned. What I was trying to do is to kind of stay away from that really broad topic of healthcare copywriter and kind of focus myself more on like senior living copywriter or copywriter for the senior care industry, that sort of thing, even though obviously it's a subset of healthcare. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So couple of thoughts that might help you feel more comfortable and make a decision. Keep in mind that for a while, it's going to be rare for someone to find you, a prospect to find you. Okay, for a while, it's going to be you making the outreach to them. So I wouldn't worry so much about search engine optimization and those things right now, because that's not where you're going to find the work, at least early on. So that's one. Number two is you can always position yourself as a copywriter and for the healthcare industry, and then say something to the effect of with a strong emphasis or focus in senior living. Okay, so that's another way of doing it, which is perfectly fine. And in that way, you're distinguishing yourself. And third, I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that it's not just who you target, but it's the what makes you different. Right? That's a huge element of standing out. So let's just take a combination of the one I just mentioned plus what makes you different. So it's the you could say that, you know, you're a healthcare copywriter with a strong emphasis and focus on the senior living sector.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes you different is this experience that you bring to bear, right? This as mm-hmm. a social worker in that particular market, you know, not that you're going to say this, but those are the things you can't teach someone overnight, right? That's what you come to the table with, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a, you know, 1-2-3 punch there that's very, very powerful. And that's going to be enough to get you started. You don't need to go any more specific necessarily
mm-hmm.
to get better results for now.
Okay. I see some people have freelance healthcare copywriter or freelance. Do you think the freelance matters here or there?
Nah. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of what? In terms of keywords or in terms of how they're describing themselves in their copy?
I guess I'm thinking keywords, again, if someone is looking for you.
Yeah. You could put it in there. I wouldn't overdo it. I see some people who really, they keep using some of those words in their body copy and makes their copy awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Where I tell you where it's going to be more important to use the word freelance will be in LinkedIn, in your LinkedIn headline, your title. Because
yeah, that's what I was thinking of mainly, LinkedIn.
Yeah, they're going to be much more likely to use that word freelance there when searching for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So freelance copywriter healthcare, or you know, freelance writer senior living. Absolutely. And I don't know if you haven't gotten to session 2 yet, right? You're working on session 1?
Yeah. So
I did look at
session two. That's the value statement. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, you'll end up with value. Session two is about website, your website copy, and
website.
Your LinkedIn
profile. Okay. Yes, I did look at it. I have a website already that I'm just going to have to rework as best I can. You know how it is. It's hard to scratch everything and start over.
And that's no problem. The reason I mentioned session two is just know that in session two I address your LinkedIn profile.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't worry. If you're not there yet, don't worry about it. Just know that, I'm going to address that.
I did listen to it. That's what I was thinking about. You were saying just use something simple that if someone is searching, they'll find you, right?
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So I think you're good. You could do healthcare with an emphasis on senior living. You could go more granular and just focus on senior living for now. But again, the one thing that's really going to add the oomph, it's going to be the what makes you different element, right?
Okay.
Because it's not just about who you're targeting; it's about how you're targeting, and what makes you different to that audience, and of course, why those differences would matter to them.
Okay.
You got some great stuff there.
I have a little bit of a complication. Can I just go for it?
Yeah.
Not much, because I saw some copywriters position themselves as health and wellness. And my background is a mixture of both. What do you think about just tacking on wellness? Because then that could expose me to like the alternative health and healthcare, that sort of thing. Or should I keep it kind of just focus on senior living and start out there?
I think it's fine if you tack that on to the broad category.
Mm-hmm.
But don't do it so that it dilutes a senior living aspect of it. So in other words, don't say something like healthcare and wellness with emphasis on senior living. Or if you have a wellness company, I can also help you there. In other words, don't try to cast too wide a net. It's okay to throw that word in there, but really the emphasis should be on the senior living element.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Here's another way to think about it. By the way, the way your question is very common, and the tendency for many of us when we're starting out is to cast a really wide net because, I don't want to leave anyone off the table. I want as many opportunities as possible. The broader you go, the more diluted your message is and the weaker it is. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes it makes sense to go broader if the narrower market that you're going after is really, really small. But the question here is there a shortage of healthcare and senior living, companies out there? And the answer is absolutely not. Okay, so there's going to be plenty in your market. So don't feel that you have to broaden it in order to get an even bigger universe of potential prospects.
Okay. I see they, a lot of them hire copywriters like as staff. So I was wondering how much would they work with freelance. But I guess I won't know until I call them.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Monique. I would keep moving through this process. Don't speculate or ask questions that really aren't going to move the needle right now.
Okay.
Base it on the factors that, that I talk about in the positioning exercise, and then just keep moving forward. You could go down a serious rabbit hole with those kinds of questions and try to do some kind of analysis on who's using and who's hiring. And you know what? That's not going to move the needle.
Okay.
You could make an argument for about 1,000 different possibilities, and that's not going to get you anywhere. So let's get you to a paying client as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that yet.
Okay. Well, all righty. Thank you. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Okay, thanks.
Love it. You're welcome. Good stuff, guys. Okay, so I got Dale. I got somebody, a Maryland number, so I'll get to you here in a second. Let me go to Dale first. Hey, Dale. How are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good to talk to you. Hello? Dale, hold on, hold on. Let me see what happened here. Because I can't hear you now. Dale. Oh, here you go. Okay, let's try it again.
Okay.
Hello, Dale.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah, sorry
okay.
about that. I don't know
Great.
What happened.
No problem. No problem at all. I'm going to try not to be as convoluted as I make things.
No worries.
Yeah, since I just started going through the positioning exercises, I've been actually in the AWAI program and writing copy for now 3 years. And what I find is that trying to focus in on getting the right, you know, niche, which I know that going through what we've already or what I've already been through your program, it's not really the niche so much as it's the concentration area. But I was a nurse. I was an acute dialysis nurse, and I also became a legal nurse consultant, although I never did anything with it. I'm also into I was a certified network administrator. I had a business in historic home restoration. I've got a bachelor's degree in biology as well as nursing, and I also got a master's degree in media design, which is branding. So I've got a lot of things, and I've got a lot of different interests as well. I have had a paying client, and that ended recently, but I didn't get paid well. It was just something that I was on contracts with. But right now, what I'm trying to do is focus in on where I should be, because I don't even have a website. And the only reason why I didn't do a website is because I just feel like I was all over the place. And I've been learning a lot of different things, including I'm learning short-form financial copy, and I'm finding it's just too hypey for me. Mm-hmm. So what I'm looking at and what I'm trying to do is I have a lot of samples that I've provided, and every time I provide my samples and then they want to know how much I charge, I'd never hear back from them. And I've done landing pages for lead generation, book bios, LinkedIn ads, and that kind of thing. But I think I want to focus more on where I have most of my skills, which is in the nursing or healthcare mm-hmm. or alternative health. I'm big into men's health and that kind of thing. And I know there's a lot of B2C stuff out there, which I find it very difficult to get into, but I'm not sure where the B2B stuff might be outside of medical devices. And I was in the dialysis industry, so that's, you know, that's more focused.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's your question?
Where
can I help you with that?
I guess it's when putting my website together, and I know that I'm not at that point, is how should I know that you're talking about not going broad, but the thing is I also was looking at what you had here with the combination of industries like healthcare, you know, maybe some stuff in high tech and what have you, because I do have quite a broad area of things that I can go into. It's just that when I put something on my website, I want to make sure that when somebody comes to it, they know that, yeah, this is the area. This guy does high tech, or he's in the healthcare in this area, or what have you. And I know that there's SEO things that you have to do with your website to make it more to bring it up in the Google searches. I guess what it is I'm just all over the place, and I really need to know how to focus and get where I want to go in this industry, because so far, considering the 3 years that I've been trying to do the copywriting, I've just not found what I want to do in it. And I'm not sure if I should do something with medical devices or if I should do something with the legal nurse consulting, which I don't know if there's anything in that area, or if I should do something, you know, within in the technology field, which I don't have, you know, I don't have the greatest knowledge of that area, but it is an interest of mine. So I guess what I'm saying is how should I approach this now that I've done all this to, you know, I'm at the consolidation list of the positioning statement or the positioning exercise. I'm trying to figure out. I guess I'm kind of afraid of where to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, let's take this one step at a time. The first thing you have to do is, you know, so go back to what came out of the exercise in terms of the inventory, mm-hmm. right? Potential targets. So let's talk specifically about target markets because that's really the crux of your question.
Right.
And let's take out things that, you know, I encourage everyone to brainstorm, but let's take out things that, you know, now that you go back to the list and you're trying to pare it down, you know, are just not going to be an option. You know, like let's say you had an interest in craft beers, and I mean, let's just take that out because you have stronger stuff. And let's just say that you're down to three or four or five things. What you have to do for each one is run it through those three filters. The three filters are essentially, you know, what does your network look like there for that particular market? Let's just take nursing. Or healthcare in general, and you could do healthcare in general, or you could do different sectors.
Okay.
I like to start with the broader one. Let's just take healthcare because it's going to be a little easier. All right. What does your network look like there? So you know you're a nurse for a while. Was that fairly recent or was that 30 years ago?
No, actually, in 2009 is when I lost my job. I had an accident that took me right out.
Okay, so it wasn't that long ago. I mean, the field changes, but it's not the kind of thing that, you know, he did it in the 50s kind of thing.
Right.
I know you're not that old, but I'm just saying. All right, so, you know, you do know you may have some possible contacts that maybe not they could hire directly, but, you know, you may have some connections there that are still viable, and they might be able to refer you and introduce you to somebody. The next one is this target market one that typically has a lot of marketing materials because it's not a commodity. It's constantly changing. The products and services need to be explained, marketed, and sold. And the answer for healthcare would be absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, there I would also ask myself, you know, is it a growing market or is this a dying market? One example of a dying market would be, you know, magazines, newspapers, that kind of thing, you know. And then the third one is, all right, as I look at that industry and I think about the topics that I might be writing about and the people I would be working with, how do I feel about it? You know, positive or negative or neutral? You know, so only you can answer that. I mean, so generally speaking, how do you feel about healthcare? I'll put you on the spot.
I feel, well, actually, I've been up and down with it because I have watched, I watched my dad die because of healthcare, the industry itself, what they did, especially pharmaceuticals, and I'm totally against pharmaceuticals. So that's one area I'll never go into. But I'm very interested in the actual devices used, whether it's in surgery or with dialysis, the type of dialysate they'll use, or the dialyzer, or the extra corporal tubings and other things, as well as the machines. Because these are things that, you know, it is a growing field because you have a lot of baby boomers who are now, you know, unfortunately never took care of themselves or having kidney problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there are some topics that you're against, some that you're for, but there's so many in healthcare. It sounds,
right,
what I'm hearing is there's more that you are interested in than those you're against.
Right.
Right. So, all right, so that one scores really high, and that's what you want to do for the other ones.
Okay.
Now, what you want to end up, if at all possible, is just one. That example I gave you of healthcare, financial services, and high tech, that works in certain scenarios where you have something meaningful in each of them, and it's just, you know, there's not one that's stronger than the other. So let's say you were in healthcare tech for a long time, so you know both. And let's say that you also happen to have a lot of contacts in financial services for whatever reason. I don't know. Then that one's a tough one. But I wouldn't do the triad unless you had a really good reason to do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't do the triad to cast a wider net, as I was talking with Monique, you know, a minute ago. You don't need to cast a wider net than healthcare because healthcare is already massive.
Right.
If you had a slice of a slice of a slice of the market, that would be way too much. Okay. So I would encourage you to run through all of them through those three filters and see which one might be the most viable and resist the temptation to kind of go with some of the others because there's some interest there, or you know what I'm saying? This temptation of not wanting to let go because, yeah, but what about this or what about that?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. You know, it's because, because I'm huge in the alternative stuff. As a matter of fact, my mother had cancer three times, and I did a lot of alternative things, as well as the regular medical, and I'm also big into men's health, with testosterone boosting and all the other things that are there, as well as bodybuilding. But none of that stuff is business to business. It's all business to consumer. So.
Yeah. Yep.
And I found that to be one of the hardest areas to break into. So I figured, since I have a medical degree, just get into the medical area.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you may have to compromise in terms of like the ones that are score the highest in terms of your personal interest. Maybe are mostly business to consumer. Don't feel that you got to tick all the boxes. You know,
okay.
You may not be able to get into the alternative side of B2B. That's a much narrower area.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you do have a choice as to what companies you actually approach. So you just go after the sectors that are B2B.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look at each company individually, you kind of like what they're doing. You know, it's some cool stuff. They're very innovative. They're doing some really neat things. They're saving lives. And you agree, and then go after them. It doesn't have to be this thing where everything is perfect and it aligns. That is rare. That is rare. There are other ways you can satisfy that need and that curiosity. But I wouldn't worry about that right now because your main goal is to earn a good living doing something that you feel good about.
Right.
It may not be perfect, but at least you're not writing about – you're not all over the place. And focus, as you know, is so key. There's so many sectors of healthcare. If you wanted to go down – you know, one of the things that – one of the ways I explain it, Dale, is think of it as three levels, level one, two, and three. Level one is business-to-business companies, okay? That is way too broad. You don't want to start there. Level two is – an example there would be healthcare. It's much narrower, but it's still very broad. Level three would be biotech or, medical devices or something really narrow, you know, under medical devices like staples, surgical staples, for instance. That is too narrow for you right now and for everybody in this group. My recommendation is always stick to level two targeting for now. As you get going and you start landing clients and you get experience in the industry, then you could narrow it down to level three, maybe even level four. But you don't know what you don't know right now.
Right.
So it's going to be very difficult, right, to go way too narrow from the very beginning. And when you think about it, that's counterintuitive. We're not taught that in marketing. We're told go as narrow as you can. Be as specific as you can. It works in many instances, but it doesn't really work here. You have to start in the middle and then narrow as you get that experience.
Okay. That sounds right. All right, well, I appreciate that.
The only exception for you, Dale, by the way, would be if you have enough insider knowledge. Like you said, Ed, I get it. However, based on my work in nursing, there's an aspect of nursing that is so huge, and I know so much about it, and I have connections there that I feel comfortable narrowing it down to that. So if you find something like that, then I think that's totally fine. But most people don't have that, and that thing I'm talking about is not usually big enough for them to go to level three from the day one.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and to give you an example, for this is an interesting topic, Monique, you know, because of her work as a social worker, let's say that, you know, she's so involved in senior living that she has an insider track and knowledge. Well, she may want to go, that's kind of level three. She may want to go to that sub-segment of healthcare. But because she's not sure yet how it would go, that's why I recommend it. Keep it broader, the healthcare umbrella, and then you can say with a strong emphasis and focus in senior living. That's a
okay.
Safer bet.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I can take as a matter of fact, I became certified as a nephrology nurse, and I got all the magazines, and I, of course, I used to see all the ads and read them, and I kind of have an idea of where I can go with this. It was just I just wanted to make sure for myself if this was an area that I'd want to go, or were there other areas in the medical, or health industry that I can go to? Because I actually started getting a master's degree in nursing informatics and health informatics as well, which is the software side of things, and which is my technical stuff, because I used to be a network administrator. So, and I got certified in a bunch of different things as well. But I mean, so I have a vast knowledge of a lot of things. I've just never became an expert except in nursing. So I guess that's probably where I should do my focus.
Yeah, and let's just say, let's go with that for now. Doesn't mean that you can't get really narrow in your prospecting, by the way. That's the beauty of keeping it at level two, that with your prospecting itself, when you start knocking on doors, you can go really surgical, very narrow, because of something that you have in your background that speaks to that. Like the example you just gave me, nursing informatics. You could start just really targeting a bunch of those companies. And your website's still somewhat general. You're not saying, hey, that's all I do, nursing informatics. But it makes sense. It's aligned with what you're saying in your outreach emails.
So even if I narrowed it down and I'm looking at, the healthcare industry, what I would want to do is on my website is to keep it still sort of basic and a little bit broader than what I'm looking at. But I guess what I'm trying to think of is should I just come out and say I work in the, dialysis area, or should I open it up a little bit more to see who will come in? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you could do what I suggested to Monique, and let's just say this is not actual copy. You could say healthcare with a strong emphasis and focus on, and this, and that.
Okay.
That's perfectly okay. As long as they're related,
Right.
Like it can't be, with strong emphasis in dialysis, nursing informatics, and, massage therapy.
Right.
That just doesn't quite jive.
Right. Yeah, like saying, medical devices or something like that, as well as medical malpractice.
Yeah, where I've seen some really, left field type things. And so, yeah, that's perfectly fine. But it's still, it's aligned with the advice I gave you, though, that it's
right.
You're keeping it tightly focused without focusing on something really narrow as your sole focus.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. I appreciate that.
You bet. Yeah, and let's talk next week, once you've had a chance to let that marinate a little bit, and let's see where you are. Or in the forum.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Good stuff, Dale.
Thank you.
You are welcome. All right. So it's an open floor right now. I don't see any raised hands. I did see somebody in Maryland earlier with their hand raised, but I don't see it. So if that was you and you accidentally lowered your hand. Ah, here we go. I just want to make sure I don't lose anybody. All right, so you're on. Who's this?
Hi. Can you hear me, Ed?
I can hear you. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jenny Dyer. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Good to talk to you. Welcome.
Thanks. I literally just got started. I did the level, listened to the session 1A this morning. So I have my work cut out for me. But I have a couple of questions. One is, I'm nervous about what kind of writing I could do because I don't gravitate toward the type of stuff that I think of, writing newsletters, you know, promotional marketing type stuff. I gravitate more toward really expository stuff, possibly technical, only I wouldn't, you know, I think technical, what other people consider technical is probably more techie than I do. But, you know, that's something that I feel comfortable with and I think that I can do, you know, explaining stuff to people. But I have no familiarity with that area to know what companies typically, what types of companies typically would be looking for that sort of help. And I guess how I get started with them. You know, I'm not sure where my search would begin.
All right, so how far into session one are you?
Literally, I just listened to 1A. Like, I finished it 10 minutes before getting on the call. So doing my positioning at all.
Yeah, so, well, okay, I'll give you some direction, but just know that this is not that I'm trying to avoid your question. It's just this is the kind of thing that you have to walk a certain path in order to get for the answers to kind of come out, right? The exercise 1B will walk you through that. And the good news, Jennifer, is that you actually have a lot of possibilities because, in fact, that's the kind of writing I love to do, and there is so much of that out there. So I call it marketing content or content marketing, which is explaining and educating with a marketing purpose, right? So that is, I think, where the biggest opportunities are, especially in business to business, not so much selling, you know, not so much lead generating or sales generating advertising copy. I mean, if that's what you want to do, there's definitely a lot there, but it's a little bit harder to get in the door with that. It's easier to get in the door with projects that educate prospects and customers, you know, and anything from articles to white papers, especially, that's kind of the mother of expository writing, to case studies, brochures, reports, all kinds of different possibilities. So the good news is that's going to be easy. The bad news is, you know, you're going to have to look at it a little differently in terms, because you got to focus on a target audience because just saying this is my skill, this kind of writing is not going to be enough. That's too broad. You know, so the exercise will help you determine that, will help you, and, you know, of course, I'm here to help you with that, but.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, I'm happy to, do you have some ideas, like, off the top of your head, if you kind of want to, you know, throw some out there that you're considering?
I really don't. I work with nonprofits, mostly. And it's philanthropies, human services, and education. And I don't really see a matchup. And I do graphic design in those fields primarily. And I don't really see a matchup between what I do for design and what I imagine for writing. Even though a lot of what I wind up doing is helping my clients to do stuff. You know, I do tutorials and stuff like that. Just as not like something they pay me for, but just to help them with whatever they need to do to when we work together. So I just don't, I really don't have an idea yet. It's just something I'm not familiar with, but it sounds like something, you know, I've heard you talk about it and I'm like, you know, that sounds like fun, but really don't know. And I have tons of interest outside of those fields don't necessarily interest me. You know, that's sort of where I landed.
The
nonprofit, a lot of other stuff. That really is just where I landed. But my interests are more, you know, just all over the place, and herbalism and alternative, just about everything else. I've done some work for a law firm doing technical drawing, and, you know, that seemed like an interesting field to work in. But again, you know, I don't have legal training, so that might be just out until I have some more, some background to bring to that. And I've worked in insurance.
What did you do before becoming a designer?
I worked in public relations for a museum, and I worked doing administrative support for a consultant, a business consultant who worked primarily in telecom.
Okay.
And I worked for a software company as well, writing their manual and working on some of the design of project management software.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, there's some possibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the nonprofit side, I understand that that's not, you know, necessarily where you want to go, but there's, you know, you don't necessarily need to work and write for nonprofits. I always encourage people to look at adjacent markets. By that, I mean like up
mm-hmm.
and down the supply chain and sideways, horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if we look up and down the supply chain with nonprofits, what about companies that sell to nonprofit organizations? There's going to
mm-hmm.
be all kinds of possibilities there, right? Because
there's
technology, there's professional services, and so forth. And if you've been on the other side, like working with these organizations, you have an inside
mm-hmm.
track on, right, what they need, how they think, how they make decisions, and that's kind of an interesting angle. So, don't just look at the obvious one. Look around them and see, okay, what other and I'm looking at your website here. You know, you've also education is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing there. It's not just, I mean, lots of possibilities in education, but there's also companies that sell to education or different elements
yeah.
and aspects and sectors of education.
Yeah. Yeah, that would actually be very interesting. The first thing that popped into my head is Eventbrite, because I've been dealing with a lot of events for one of my clients. And that's just, for them, it's basically a plug-in. You know, we need to have these tickets and management and stuff like that, and dealing with figuring it all out. You know, my job was to figure it all out for them, and it might be nice if the company, they make stuff pretty clear, but I think not necessarily clear for someone who's not technically minded. So
mm-hmm.
there could be the potential to improve on that, you know, in their communication.
Okay.
And cut my job out.
Well, I think you're going to get some really good insights when you go through that exercise. So I don't want to speculate
mm-hmm.
too much. I just wanted to maybe get you thinking along the right lines. So
mm-hmm.
you're maybe a little better prepared for the exercise. But the one thing, you know, with passions, I always recommend as you go through the exercise, you'll see that I encourage you to list passions on your
mm-hmm.
inventory list. The mm-hmm. tough things about passion is that it's usually not going to be enough. There are cases where it could work, but it's usually not going to, for instance, you know, alternative medicine
mm-hmm.
or travel.
Mm-hmm.
unless you have something a little bit more than just an interest in travel and a lot of travel experience, it's going to be very difficult. And I don't like to discourage people from those, but my whole thing is, the most important thing you could do is get success as quickly as possible, because some early success is the key to getting motivated, and motivation
mm-hmm.
will lead to momentum, and momentum can take you anywhere. So I always
mm-hmm.
recommend starting with where you can get success the fastest, because then from there, it's an easier jump to a passion area than it is to go from zero to a passion area, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this sounds like it could tie in. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, It could. It absolutely could.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say, I would give yourself a goal. Look, between now and we're going to have a call next Thursday as well. Make it a goal to go through that and narrow it down to a few really good options.
Okay.
And at that point, let's talk about it. You know, let me. I'll be glad to help you narrow it down.
Alrighty, I will.
Okay.
One thing that came up, which I know it's too premature, but you know, you were talking with Monique about LinkedIn, and I thought, gosh, you know, I've got LinkedIn and it's totally geared toward graphic design, and I don't know how the writing is going to pan out and how I will have both of them on there, you know, and keep them distinct. But since I don't have a clue yet, that will have to wait.
Yeah, I would say hold off on that. Don't let it worry you yet. And depending on where you end up, let's figure out the best way to do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, great to be working with you.
Oh, you too. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, guys. So, again, star two, or the raise your hand icon. I'm going to go to questions that were pre-submitted. I've just been going back and forth. And let's go to Corey. Corey had submitted a question a couple days ago. He said, next week I'm going to be at the largest conference in my target niche, which is educational technology companies. And the expo vendor floor is massive. I will have my website updated and ready by then. What should my strategy be when talking to vendors? Because I'm either their target market as a teacher or librarian. It feels awkward to turn the tables on them and pitch them my writing services, especially when the people at the booth are not always the same who would work with writers. Any thoughts? He said, I won't be on the call live, but I will listen to the recording over the weekend. Okay. Great question, Corey. Here's what a couple of things. I love their events, conferences, trade shows, et cetera, but they require a lot of pre-planning. And, you know, in this case, you're just getting started. This conference is already next week. It's going to happen very, very quickly. So I would not worry about turning the tables on them. My approach would be to try to strike up some conversations with people. I find, and listen, I'm kind of in the middle between introverted and extroverted. I do not like going to, I mean, if you were to give me a choice, I would rather not go to an event with a lot of people. I love one-on-one interactions. I don't like a crowded room. However, you can make some great stuff happen, and I think if you do it the right way, it's going to be easier. I try to think of it as striking conversations, just starting a conversation, because that's easy to me. I can strike up a one-on-one conversation with someone, and if I also tell myself that I'm not there to sell, that my goal is not to walk away with a client, my goal is just to meet some good people, then that takes the pressure off. So, again, I'm not looking to work a room. I'm just looking to start some conversations, and I'm not looking for a client. I'm just looking to make some connections, make some contacts. Suddenly, I mean, just like thinking about it now, I feel much better. That's doable. And the key will be to have your elevator pitch kind of ready to go. And your elevator pitch is really based on your value statement. So you definitely want to complete your positioning homework and narrow it down to some value statements that you can now use there. Now, you never want to go straight when starting a conversation to, hey, my name is Corey, and here's what I do, and you know, do you ever work with outside writers? Okay. Take it one step at a time. You know, be a real person, be a human. And I would just say, you know, introduce yourself and, you know, ask what they're about, what they're doing. And usually the conversation will turn back to you. I mean, most cases, right, we've all been there. The person will say, well, tell me about yourself. Who are you with? And it depends on how you want to structure it, but I think in your situation, because you're currently a teacher, right, you may want to do a combination. Well, you know, I've been a teacher and librarian for so many years. However, I have recently launched a writing business focused on creating marketing materials, writing marketing materials for educational companies. And I'm just kind of making this up, okay? And, you know, I'm curious, do you guys ever work with outside writers? And that would be the time to use that value statement that sounds very natural and organic, and then ask the question, okay? And I think if you don't have the pressure of, I got to walk out of here with a very interested prospect or a client, then it's going to feel a lot more natural, and you're going to be more effective. So don't. Bottom line is, don't be afraid to turn the tables on them. You're just starting a conversation. You're not trying to sell anything. You're just, hey, here's what I do, and here's what I started doing recently, and I'm curious. I love what you guys are doing. Do you ever work with outside writers? And just see. And either they're going to know, and you can now start a conversation or get the conversation going in that direction, or they won't know, and then the next step would be, you know, how can you find out who would be the right person to talk to at your company about that? And if you can at least walk away with that or with an answer, you know, maybe they say, no, we do everything internally or whatever, then that's okay. And by the way, just a quick, this is a lot of different paths, okay? But if it went down that road of, you know, we do a lot of writing, but we do it all internally, you always want to thank them and say, that's fantastic. Hey, would you mind keeping my information handy? If something were to ever come up where your staff writers are just too swamped, you know, I'd love to get a chance to help you out or talk about a project that I might be able to help you with. Okay, so always leave it there. Always have that backup option instead of saying, oh, okay, well, never mind, thank you. You never want to say that. So, yeah, that's pretty much it at a high level. And, you know, the fact that this kind of happened now when you're starting out, you know, if we had more time, we could do some other things, but I think it's perfectly fine, and that's going to be great, and I'll be interested to see how that goes. I had a coaching client in this program just a few months ago. It happened around the same time. It was early on, and he went, and it was a trade show or a conference in his target audience, and he went, and he used that same approach, and he ended up landing two clients as a result. Now, not there at the conference, but he established some connections there that he was able to follow up on, and then turn them into clients. I think it was two. It may have been one, but I know he ended up landing two clients around the same time. So, but don't give yourself that kind of pressure. That's key. Otherwise, you're going to be too nervous. You're not going to be effective. All right. Dale had also pre-submitted a question here. Let's see, this is a two-pronged question. What are the most sought-after writing assignments B2B companies are looking for? Are they white papers, case studies, lead generating, landing pages, web content with SEO, brochures, email marketing? And what if you've not done 99% of what they're looking for? Then how do you market yourself as a B2B copywriter with the ability to tackle these projects? In other words, you've gone through the training programs for these writing assignments, but you have not had a chance to write them. Okay, so let's two questions. The first question is, what are the most sought after writing assignments? There is no one type, Dale, or one kind. It's all over the place. However, if I were to narrow it down to even just a broad category, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be marketing content. Okay, educational content, not so much the lead generating and sales generating stuff. There's definitely a market for that. No doubt, but it's smaller than content itself that's not meant to sell or to generate leads. And it's harder to get in the door, in most cases, with the lead-generating projects or sales-generating projects. You can. I'm not saying it's impossible, not at all. I'm just saying typically what companies are willing to offload to an outside writer is going to be the, like Jennifer described, the expository writing, the white papers, case studies, web content, articles, blog posts, and so forth. Blog posts, by the way, seems to be one of the most common ways to get into a lot of these companies. They're not great paying in many cases, but it's one that many companies are willing to offload. So that's, generally speaking, where the demand is going to be. In terms of, okay, well, what if you haven't done 99% of what they're looking for? I'll go back to something I said earlier. I would not worry about it. I would, on my services page, essentially talk about the services that I provide. If you're interested in writing X, Y, and Z, then list those services on your page, services page. I do X, Y, and Z. Don't worry about the fact that you haven't done them. In other words, they'll say, well, this is the only thing that I have written in the past. When you talk about services, you should be talking about services in terms of what you're interested in offering, not necessarily what you have a serious track record in doing. Second, as I mentioned earlier, you're not looking for a client who needs to see in-depth experience in the project that they're interested in hiring a writer for. Okay. If that's what they need, then that's okay. Listen, they're perfectly fine for them to expect that. But if they need to see that and you don't have it, then that's okay. They're just not a good prospect for you today. You're looking for someone, and this happens all the time, that either overlooked all of that or looked at the samples you did have, or the urgency is enough, is high enough, that it doesn't really matter. You have a lot of quick decision makers out there in the business world, or really just organizations in general, that they just overlook it, or they don't care, or they just got to get something done, something started. And based on what you do bring to the table, this is why it's so important in your positioning to be really, really clear of what you bring to the table. In other words, what makes you different and why those differences matter to this target audience. Based on that, and then everything else that's going on in their world, they're willing to take a chance. There's a really funny scene in a movie. It's actually a fairly old movie, Bridget Jones's Diary. And this is always what I think of when this question comes up. So Bridget Jones made a big mistake, and she slept with her boss. And then her boss cheated on her because they were dating after that, and then he cheated on her, and so she was really mad at him, but she had to see him now every day at work. So she quit her job. She quit her job, and now she had nothing. So it was based solely on emotion. She didn't really have a plan, and now she's desperately looking for work, and she was in broadcasting, TV. So she's going, and in the movie they show you all these interviews that she's going to, and she's failing miserably. She is not a good interviewer. She keeps answering questions the wrong way. She keeps saying the wrong things, and she knows she's striking out. And finally, this is like the eighth interview. They show clips of each, and all her failures. And then finally, the last one, you could tell she's just tired. She's tired. She doesn't care anymore. And the interviewer asks her, "Well, why did you leave your last job?" And she just didn't care anymore. She wasn't pretending. She wasn't going to lie. She just said, well, it's because I slept with my boss, and we started dating, and then he cheated on me, and I just couldn't stand to look at him anymore. She just didn't care. She just told him. And the guy says, okay, great. Well, listen, start 8 o'clock Monday morning. Be here. And, that's so representative of what typically happens here is there's going to be some prospects who just don't care. You don't know what's going on their side. So don't worry about it, Dale, and it's a great question that a lot of people have. So this is really goes out to everybody in the group. Somebody will give you a shot, okay? And once you have that shot, then things change, and then you are in a different place. Okay, so again, star two, if you have a question, want to talk through, I need some feedback, want to talk through your situation. Let's see, there's another question, and this one's from Arun, and he's on the call, but he can't do audio today from where he is. He says, my question is about pressing past session 6 in the warm email templates. I had told myself to pause on these sessions until I sent 30 warm emails and told myself it might be better to wait until I get some type of response before continuing with the quoting and closing material. Would you recommend continuing through the end of the sessions, or does it make sense to wait until we get a shot from someone and it's more relevant in real time? Yeah, great question. All right, so once you get to session six, the dynamics really change, because session six, seven, and eight, especially six and seven, are really more applicable once you get a live prospect. You got a prospect who says, yeah, let's talk, and you need to figure out, my gosh, it's finally happening. What do I say? What do I do? And the real learning with that material happens when you are in a real phone conversation with a prospect. You can study the material, but until you put it into practice in a real-life situation, it's not really going to stick. You're not going to be able to internalize it. However, I do recommend, Arun, and anyone who's at that stage, to go ahead and review Session 7, which shows you how to do the pricings. Do Session 6 and 7. Session 6 is handling the conversation. Session 7 gets into pricing and quoting and following up. And the reason I say that is at least you'll know and get a glimpse of what the process looks like. And even though you're not going to be able to really internalize it until you put it into practice, at least you'll know what's there. So you'll be a little more prepared. It's kind of like previewing content. You know how one of the strategies for retaining more material from a book or reading a book faster is to preview the book, right? Table of contents, then go and flip through each of the chapters and look at the subheadlines, look at the charts, look at bullet points. And it's been proven, if you do that, and I do this many times, if you do that, when you do the actual reading, you're going to learn and retain more of the material because you've gotten a glimpse as to what's ahead. Same thing here. I do think at that point, Arun, it does make sense to go to session seven just to review it. And then just wait. And the good thing is you have some handouts there. So when you do get a live one, when you do get a prospect, then you'll know exactly what's in there. You'll be able to get your handouts in front of you and then handle the conversation and the pricing and quoting with better confidence, as opposed to that being the first time you look at it and now you're under the gun. Okay, it's an open floor right now, so just letting you know in case somebody thought they raised their hand, I'm not seeing it. So right now there's no hands raised. If anyone wants to jump in, you're more than welcome to. Star 2. I'm looking at the chat area. So, guys, with the chat, of course, I want you to participate there. But I'd rather you not ask questions there because I'm only looking at the chat at the beginning when we're talking about wins of the week, and then at the end when I ask you about top takeaways and top action items, okay? So just I don't want to miss anybody. But let me go ahead and there were some questions that were there. Let me go ahead and address them. Mary says, hi, Ed, I sent out some warm emails and had some responses. Yahoo, all right. But someone asked me for my resume. What? I've been a financial advisor for 30 years and haven't written a resume since 1985. What is the best thing for me to do, get a book on writing a resume? All right, so resume question. It does come up sometimes, and here's what I would do. I would try to diffuse that. Don't feel like you got to jump through hoops. Oh, my God, they need a resume. I got to give them something. The reason you've structured, one of the many reasons you've structured your website the way you have is your website, and especially your Why Me page and or About page, truly can act like a resume. So what I would do is I would turn it back on them and say, you know what, I don't have a resume. You know, I've been on my own and for a while, and what I do have is let me send you to a page on my site that will tell you a little bit more about me, my experience, and what makes me different. Okay, and just send them there. Don't ask, is that enough? You know, just send them there and then follow up. And then if they still push, or when you follow up, they still want to see a resume. Okay, that's great, but I need to see a resume. Then I still wouldn't give in. You know what I would do? I would ask them, Okay. I don't have one, but maybe can you tell me a little bit more about what you're looking for? And maybe I can, you know, put something together that's going to answer your questions. Here's why I say that. Many times when prospects are asking for a resume, it's one of two things. They either want to know more about you, in which case your website can answer those questions, or it's a delay tactic. There's a third category, which is a third reason, which is that's just what they ask everybody. And maybe that's part of their requirement. You see this in some cases with agencies. But I don't know if I would necessarily take the time to put one together unless you knew a little bit more. So if you do get to the point in a rare situation where, well, that's how we do it, and, you know, we're an agency and, you know, we just that's part of our process – then before I jump through those hoops, I never be confrontational. Tell the prospect, oh, completely understand, makes perfect sense. You know, before I go in this direction, because I would put one together. Can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, do you ever work with outside writers, and if so, what do you typically look for? You want to make sure that they're a qualified prospect, okay? Because what if you took, you know, 3-4 hours or more to put something together, and they're not even a really viable prospect for you? Then, you know, you would have wasted your time. So just make sure that you don't comply immediately. Instead, ask follow-up questions. Send them to a place that might satisfy their curiosity. And if they still need it, then ask follow-up questions so you can see if it's worth your time. Okay. All right, Tina, I just see that you joined. Thank you. It's great to be here with you. Monique says, Ed, do you work with an editor when you write your copy just to have a second pair of eyes before you hand over the project to the client? Great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. Yes and no. All right, so here's what I've done. I worked with an editor for a few white paper projects a while back. And it's somebody who came recommended from a colleague of mine who also wrote a lot of white papers. And I want to say she was charging about $300 or so to edit my white papers, which I thought was very reasonable. She did a great job. She took something that that was good and turned it into very, very good. And, of course, with her editing came the proofreading as well. So it was a finished product. It was excellent. You have to figure out, number one, where your gifts are. My talent is really in idea generation, organizing those ideas, building a strong argument in a draft, and just doing a first few passes of that draft. So drafting it, doing a couple of rounds of edits myself, and after that, I start getting diminishing returns, meaning it's going to be very hard for me to improve it. I can improve it after a couple of rounds of edits myself, but I'm spending a lot of time in making very little progress. I learned a long time ago that after a couple of rounds of edits, it's just better to give it to somebody whose gift is editing and proofreading. And that's what they do best. So they could take it from where I left it and take it all the way to the finish line. Okay. So I did hire this editor. It was $300, and it was great. However, there came a point where I found a proofreading company that was doing almost as good a job for a lot less. And it's not that, you know, I was trying to be cheap. It's just that I found that what the proofreading service was giving me was 90% of what the editor was giving me, and they were able to turn it around faster. My editor needed more time, and she definitely deserved that time. Many times I was working under the gun, very tight deadlines, mostly my fault, mostly because I promised things too fast to my clients, and I didn't have that kind of breathing room. So I started using my proofreading company more and more and more, and to this day I still use them on client projects. The company's called Proofread Now, proofreadnow.com. They're extremely reasonable. Their standard turnaround is 24 hours. And, I mean, typically an article will cost me $30, $40. A white paper may cost me $60, $80. to get it proofread, and they do an excellent, excellent job. Two proofreaders go through every document, and so you're much more confident that it's pretty much at 100% when you're done. But I will say this. I do consider them for client work, for them to be a key part of my team. So in other words, that to me is part of my process and has been for about 12 years. And I think it's a competitive advantage for me because I've had many clients say, you know, your first drafts are fantastic. I've never worked with a writer who turns in something that's pretty much there every time. And I know that it's due to a great extent to my proofreading team. So I consider them part of the team. And by the way, strongly recommend that everyone use a proofreader. It's just it's hard to proofread your own stuff, and it's when you write your website copy, I'm gonna tell you when you submit it for my review. I'm gonna tell you, listen, one of the things that I'm gonna suggest is run it through a proofreader. When you're done editing, you think it's there, go ahead and send it to a proofreader. It's too important. If you're marketing yourself as a writer or copywriter, your website unfortunately has to be perfect, no grammatical error. So don't feel bad if you miss things. We all do. It's too hard to proofread your own stuff. Give it to somebody who does that, and that's what they do, and they do well. All right. I don't see any raised hands or any questions. I just want to give everyone one more shot. I want to make sure I don't miss any questions. Let me clear this and make sure on my end we're good. As we're wrapping up, here's what I'd love to hear from you guys. In the chat area, the chat box there on the call page, would love to know what your biggest takeaway was from today's call. Just type in takeaway, colon, and just let me know in the chat area. Want to make sure that there's, you're walking away with something useful. Biggest takeaway today. Mary says, big takeaway was the resume issue, how to handle that. Awesome. Great to hear. All right, biggest takeaway, Tina, Betty, Monique, Ray, Dale, Linda, biggest takeaway. All right. Dale says, biggest takeaway, healthcare with a focus in a particular area. Go through the filters and the positioning exercise with each of the areas of interest. Don't get too narrow at this point. Great. Yeah, it's good stuff. Jenny says, think laterally. Yeah, look at lateral and vertical possibilities in terms of target markets, not just the ones that you're thinking of, but look all the way around them, adjacent markets, as I like to call them. Monique says, someone will give me a shot. I find that advice inspiring. Yes, somebody will. I mean, that's why I wanted to bring it down to that example of college graduates, because, listen, we've all been there. Doesn't matter where we started, right? Somebody at some point gave you a shot. You know, my 15-year-old son is, he doesn't want one, but we're making him go out there and get a job. And there aren't too many places that will hire 15-year-olds here. Somebody will give him a shot. He's got zero work experience, but somebody will give him a shot. And guess what? When he's 16, 17, 18, he will then have something he can talk about. He will then have, at that point, some work experience. You're always looking for somebody to give you a shot, and somebody always will. All right, biggest takeaway. All right, one last thing. I want to hear from you guys. Please don't be shy. I'm not going to put you on the spot or anything crazy. I'm not going to make fun of you. Top action item. Your top action item. We have another call next Thursday, the same time next week. And what would you say is your top action item between now and the next time we talk? one action item, something that, you know what, this is important, I need to do this or finish this by next Thursday? Top action item. I bet I know what Dale's is, and I bet I know what Jenny's is, but I don't want to guess. Monique says, rewrite copy for website and submit website for review. Awesome. I like it. It's a great action item. That's a big step. Jenny says, complete the positioning exercises and hopefully have time to pause and revisit them. Ah, there you go. Good stuff. Mary says, more prospecting. Awesome. Mary, one quick tip. Set yourself a goal, either a time or a number, in terms of prospecting emails. I prefer time. I'd rather early on focus on, I'm going to spend so much time prospecting over the next week, so many hours, then I'm going to get so many warm emails out the door. Just because you don't yet know how many you can get out the door consistently, since you're still getting the hang of it. But set a goal. Set something definite. And then once you set that goal for the week, carve out specific times during the week when you're going to do that. Otherwise, I find it's very easy for it to slip. Dale says, top action item, have best consolidated lists for a website purpose. Oh, there you go. And list, curious, Dale, so when you say list, are you talking about list of target markets? Or tell me more about what you mean by list. Laura says, top action item, website, add 5 writing samples plus 3 testimonial comments. Yeah. Here you go. Okay, Dale says, start writing aspects of my website. Okay, perfect. The area best for my services. Okay, gotcha. Makes sense. All right, anybody else? Top action items. Don't worry, this is not for me. I'm not writing this down. I'm not going to, you know, put you on the spot. This is really for you. You know, I want you to identify something that you're going to do. This is all about moving the ball down the field, guys. You know, very easy to let the stuff slip, and it's not going to work itself, right? You got to work it. So this is really for you, to give you something concrete, top action item. Anybody else? All right. I don't see any others. Great call today. Great discussion, especially on the positioning stuff. Richard says, biggest takeaway was the proofreader source. Hey, Richard, I didn't realize you were here. I see your question now. The website, my team. Yes, so we do, for those of you guys, if you're ever interested, if you want help with your website, if this is the kind of thing that once you start looking at it, you go, you know what? I don't want to mess with that. I can make my team available for you guys to help you design and build your website. We actually created a customized WordPress theme that's perfect for what you guys are doing, and we'd be happy to build that for you, get everything set up. You still have to write the copy, but we will upload it for you and do all the hard technical work that, you know, a lot of people don't want to do. If you're ever interested in that, just send me an email, and I will reply with all the details. There's a lot there that I need to send you so you understand, you know, everything we do and the things you're responsible for. So send me an email, ed@b2blauncher.com, and put website in the subject line just so I know, you know, what you're inquiring about. Richard, let me just say, because I know you mentioned you're trying to make some decisions on your website. I don't know if you want to talk real quick about it right now, or if you're somewhere where you can chat. My concern about, you said you have a website already, and it's really a lawyer's website. My concern about trying to integrate your writing business into that is that it could be trying to wedge in too many things into one site. I think from a positioning standpoint, it could create a lot of confusion. Not that this is the case here, okay, but just imagine this. If you, I don't know, If you happen to be a masseuse and you also starting a writing business targeting, I don't know, high-tech companies, it'd be like trying to combine both of those things, right? It's like, oh, yeah, I have massage therapy services. And by the way, I also work with software companies to help them write white papers. It just that's too much dissonance there. They're not aligned. That's an extreme example. You may have a reason why you want to combine them, but generally speaking, it's going to be tough to combine them. So if you want to raise your hand, star two, and let me know if you want to chat about it. I want to make sure that you're covered. But that was my concern when you asked about it. I don't see you. Anyway, that's happy to, you know, when if you want to send me that email, that'll be my trigger. I'll respond with all the details. And then I can put you in touch. You know, my team can help you with that, and then we can figure it out. But I think it might be worth keeping them separate because they're two totally different businesses in most cases. Okay. We'll go ahead and wrap up, guys. Great call today. Just a reminder, we're going to be on again next week, okay? Same time, 1 o'clock Eastern time. That's Thursday the 28th. And then we're off the following week just because it's a holiday week. 4th of July, Canada Day, and all that good stuff. And I know most people are going to be out of town, or many people will be. So hope to see you next week. We'll send you reminders, and we'll post the replay to this call here by sometime this time tomorrow. You guys have a great rest of the day, and we'll continue the conversations in the forum. Take care.